brought to you by Penguin.
Tune In Tomorrow by Randy Dawn. Read by Rebecca LaChance. To my mother, who made everything possible. We do not live in this world alone, but in 1,000 other worlds. Erna Phillips, Another World. When I think of soap operas and what makes them so popular, the answers posing in front of my eyes. The Trash Can Sinatras, Threepenny Tears. Chapter 1. Wish Upon a Star. Fork, knife, spoon, napkin, ring. Stack. Knife, fork, spoon, napkin, ring. Stack. Variations on a theme, thought Star Weatherby, her blue nail-polished fingers on autopilot as she crafted stainless steel utensil rolls, yearning to be anywhere but here. She was 47 minutes into her shift at Mike's Diner. It was 6:32 a.m. on a summer Thursday, and she had 73 more rolls to construct before Mike would even consider letting her have the privilege of waiting on tables again. All around her, Mike's thrummed. Grease pans sizzling, plates clattering, short-order cooks swearing in multiple tongues. Regulars flirted with waitresses, whose shoes made smuck-smuck sounds on the linoleum as they negotiated the packed booths and tables. A fug of burned pancakes, buttery eggs, fatty bacon, and defrosted juices lingered in the air, settling on Star's thick blonde curls. All the while, Mike and his manicured handlebar mustache lurked behind the register. He rattled the pages of the New York Post while casting a gimlet eye around the room. Star stood to one side of the coffee and supply station, spinning her utensil packages, bored, solid. The subway had stalled underground this morning, making her late. 11 minutes into her shift, she'd sworn under her breath, and a customer had overheard her. But really, was craptacular a swear? Then delivered regular instead of Canadian bacon to table 12. She was distracted for a good reason, but in Mike's, three strikes and you're doomed to make 100 utensil rolls, plus miss getting tips until you finished. Dang Canadians, she grumbled to herself. Who wants your dumb hammy bacon anyway? Checking first to ensure Mike was deep into the sports section, Star poked at the phone on the counter. The face lit up. She couldn't miss this call. It might be the call if she intended to get out of here. Nothing. Back to the rolls, her eyes scanned the room to relieve the tedium. Teresa was still AWOL. Her shift partner had been green all morning, then after taking a few orders had beelined to the bathroom. Star was counting the minutes. If Teresa's morning sickness kept her off the floor much longer, she'd take over whether Mike liked it or not. An overly loud, exaggerated yawn startled her, and she glanced around. How much longer, Valentine?
Patience, mi compadre.
A second voice, different. Both seemed male, but the additional one had a lilt that conjured folk songs and rolling green grass in Star's mind. All will be made clear, indirectly. Most of the diner's cacophony washed over Star as white noise, but these words sliced through the tumult like a knife through butter. She lifted up on her toes, peering over the workstation divider to catch a glimpse of the curved booth to the right. Table 5, one of Teresa's. It held 3 occupants, a single mug of coffee, and a growing stack of shredded napkins.
This is not a whim, said the man called Valentine.
He was a rangy, incredibly pale thing, with a sharp nose and angular face. His wavy brown hair pointed up with 2 pronounced cowlicks at the crown, yet on closer examination, they did not quite appear to be hair.
Events shall unfold at a speed that will dazzle even a jaded old pombero like yourself, he continued. We only need wait for Fiona to arrive.
Star had never heard of a pombero. It sounded like a hat with a tufted end.
She's late, as usual.
The jaded old pombero growled.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?